How about you? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, sometimes it is a mental offense. You know, like maybe the questions they ask, you know, at a catechism or at a baptism. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. I mentally assent to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. But the question this afternoon is, are you believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in? Are you leaning on? Have you committed yourself completely unto Him for your soul's salvation? Why is it so important? Why is it important for us to study the subject of biblical faith? Because faith is a basic foundational principle in the Christian life. So it seems like we ought to figure out what it is. Amen? Since it's a foundational principle, and we can't enter in without, it seems like we ought to understand what it is. Jesus said some powerful words about faith. Listen to them. They will motivate you to want to understand what this word is all about. Because Jesus said things like this. All things are possible to him who believes. Jesus said, whatsoever ye ask, believe that ye receive it, and it shall be done. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew chapter 21, reading from verse 18. We're coming down to the end of the time of the ministry of the Lord Jesus upon the earth. Verse 18, it says, now in the morning, as he, Jesus, returned into the city, he was hungered. He got hungry. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently, the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled. And we would too, wouldn't we? We would also marvel. But they marveled. Saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now Jesus was trying to teach these disciples about faith. Faith is how Jesus lived his life upon the earth. And he must transfer this principle to these men who are going to carry on the work after he is gone. And of course, it was very difficult for them to try to do as he did or try to understand this principle of faith until after the Holy Ghost was come on the day of Pentecost. But after the day of Pentecost, it's very interesting to watch Peter and John, who were there at this reading, And they were of those who marveled at what Jesus did. And they heard Jesus say those words. But in the book of Acts, after Pentecost, when they were going to the place of prayer, and they found the man, that impotent man there, and he was begging alms, Peter and John had the bold ability to look at him and say, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he rose up and walked. That's just what Jesus said in these verses. Jesus said, "You think that's amazing that I can do that? You can do the same thing." And John and Peter did the same thing. And it worked. I think I would like to figure out what this is, this faith. I think I need to understand more about it. And I think that you do too. Faith, it is how we enter into the Christian life. And therefore we need to understand what it is by that. And faith, it is how we walk all of our days in our Christian life. And again, we need to understand what that's all about. I think of the Apostle Paul. I think it's in Acts chapter 27. He was a man of faith. He was misunderstood by many, but he was a man of faith. There he is, out in the midst of the Mediterranean Sea, in the midst of a storm. Days have gone by. They're lost at sea. Every direction you look, you don't know where you are. Days go by, you don't see the sun for the storm. Days go by, there's no food to eat. Days go by, you have no direction. You have no idea where you are. See, they didn't have compasses in those days where you could just hold it out and figure out which direction you were going. If they'd had that, they'd have been okay. But they had to look at the sun and the stars to figure out where they were at and where they needed to go. No sun, no stars, nothing. Only one person had a compass on that boat, amen? And his name was Paul. He had a compass. And after 14 days, no food, and everyone else was despairing, the Bible says that Paul stood up and spoke. And he said this to all of them, "I believe God," or "I believe in God." "I believe God," said Paul. What an absurd thing to say. Paul, we're out here in the middle of nowhere for 14 days. We don't know where we're at. We don't know where we're going. We don't have any food to eat. We don't know if we're going to live tomorrow, and you have the audacity to stand up and say, "I believe God." Yes, I believe God. You know, it's very interesting in Acts. Let's just turn there, Acts 27, verse 40. There's a little insight there that would be good. Be good for us to look at. And it's amazing to me that Paul convinced all of these heathen to do what he said. But he did, somehow. They must have understood that he was a man of God. He talked to them about having an angel standing by him through the night, and I don't believe he saw an angel with his eyes. But he got a message from God. In the midst of his fastings and seeking God, he got a message from God. And an angel stood by him through the night and said, "Don't worry about a thing, Paul. Don't worry about a thing." Boy, that's faith, isn't it? Don't worry about a thing. We don't know what we're going to eat tomorrow. Don't worry about a thing. We have no idea where we're at. We don't know which direction we are. We don't know how far we've drifted away from where we were before. Don't worry about a thing, Paul. That's what God said to Paul. And somehow he was able to convince all of these men, maybe because they were at the end of themselves. And you know, when we get there, we're willing to take a look at a few options that otherwise we wouldn't look at. And they were willing to listen to him. And he told them, we're all going to be saved. We're going to lose the ship. We're going to lose all our things. But we're all going to be saved. And then he told them, this is what we're going to do. Throw everything overboard. Pull up the anchor. And trust God. That's what we're going to do. Well, they probably were, you know, reasoning in their mind, well, what do we got to lose? We're out here for 14 days. We're going to die anyway. This guy said that God talked to him. Let's go for it. And so they threw everything overboard. And look what it says in chapter 27 in verse 40. What a beautiful picture of faith. And when they had taken up the anchor, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder band and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. That's what they did. Now that word committed there, that word means to take your hands off completely. Now, they committed themselves to the sea, but did Paul commit himself to the sea? How many think Paul committed himself to the sea? Not a one taker. Paul knew what he was doing. Who did he commit himself to? The God who stood beside him through the night and said, don't worry about a thing, Paul. Everything's going to be all right. So they pulled up the anchor, and they put up the sail, and committed themselves to the sea. And of course, you know the rest of the story. The ship wrecked going in, falling to pieces. Everything was lost, but everybody made it to shore. What a beautiful picture of faith, brothers and sisters. A real faith. A faith in the unseen. But a faith in a living God. Paul committed himself unto God. And everything worked out just fine. And that's the way it is and will be with us all now. Why should we learn about biblical faith? Because the Bible says four times, brothers and sisters, the just man, the upright man, the truly righteous man shall live by faith. Now, if I understand what God means by that, that's the only way you can be a just man, an upright man, or a righteous man, is to be a man or a woman who lives by faith. Who lives by faith. Now, for the illustration of this chair, I'm putting my trust in this chair for these few moments while I stand upon it. But the Christian life is not that way. And maybe sometimes that gets a bit confusing to people because they look back at a point in a time in their life when they did make that choice. I'm going to rely upon, I'm going to trust in, I'm going to wholly lean upon, I'm going to commit myself unto God completely. And they do that at an altar somewhere. But time goes by, they get busy on other things, and they are no longer leaning upon, trusting in, committing their life to this God. And your Christian life will not come out right if you get off that chair and go your own way afterwards. It will not turn out right. And that's the simple essence of that verse in the Bible which appears four times. The just shall live by faith. the just, the righteous shall live. Not stand for a moment. Live. Live day after day after day, week after week, month after month. The just and only the just shall live by faith all their days. We must learn what this means to live by faith. You will live by faith, by an utter dependence upon God. You will live in utter dependence upon God. Remember what Brother Ken said to us this morning? Blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit live. Live in utter.
Yeah, well, you know, the Old Testament minor prophets, Habakkuk chapter 2.
In Habakkuk chapter 2 is the first place where we find this phrase, the just shall live by faith. It's significant. Finding it here in this Old Testament prophet book, very interesting. Habakkuk chapter 1, it's a grave time in the life of the prophet Habakkuk. It's a grave time in the life or the history of Israel. It seems like everything is going wrong. It seems like God is not answering. It seems like enemies are creeping in all around. It seems like destruction is about to fall. And in the midst of all of that, in his ignorance and his sincere love for the people of God, Habakkuk has been praying that God would step in and show himself strong. But God isn't stepping in. And Habakkuk doesn't understand. Why is God allowing wicked men to trouble and torment God's people? He kind of looked at it in a natural way, you know. He thought, okay, sure, we're not what we ought to be, but look at those wicked heathen. They're so much worse than we are. How could God let those wicked heathen come in and judge us? We're more righteous than they are. Sounds like comparing yourselves among yourselves, doesn't it? But Habakkuk didn't understand. Why isn't God doing something? And so, he says in chapter 2 and verse 1, he says what he's going to do. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I'm going to go to the place, my place of prayer. And what are you going to do there, Habakkuk? I will watch to see what he, the Lord, will say to me. Now, this isn't the lesson, but bless God, I can't pass this up. I want you to see the depth of this prophet. He's got a question that he doesn't have the answer to. He's in a dilemma. He doesn't know why God is not answering. But what does he do? He says, I'm going to go to the place where I wait and watch for God. And I'm going to wait there and see what God says to me. Good practice. Good practice. You have a place where you go and watch and wait for God. You know, if you have a place like that and you go there and you watch and you wait in sincerity, you will hear what God says to you. Nothing will put a better spring in your step and your whole day than to hear the very voice of God speaking to you in that secret place. And if you've never had that experience, I want to encourage you. You find a place where you can get alone with God and watch and wait earnestly to see what God will say to you. That's what Habakkuk did. That's how he solved his dilemma. I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, now this is what the Lord said to him. Write the vision, Habakkuk, and make it plain upon paper, that he may run that readeth it. Boy, that's full of energy, isn't it? That is energizing. Those are energizing words. You write it. Make it plain so that he may run who reads it, so that he may respond who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now that's the context of the verse we want to look at. Here's God's explanation of all that is happening in the nation of Israel. Here's what God's explanation is. Behold, the soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The soul which is lifted up, the soul that is self-sufficient, the soul that doesn't need anything, is not upright in him, but the just, the upright man, the righteous man, shall live by faith. That is, in utter dependence upon God. And see, that was the controversy that God had with Israel. What else could she expect? Because her soul was lifted up, independent, self-sufficient, full of pride, full of her own abilities. What else can God do with her when she is like that? But turn her over, yea, to an enemy who is way, way less than her, and humble her by it. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is that the just man, the upright man, will live by faith, will live by relying in, by trusting in, by completely leaning upon God. That's the life that God wanted them to live. And there we have the text the first time. When is my time up? We find the text again in Romans, in the book of Romans. And in Romans is the book of salvation, which you're going to hear lots about. Listen to the context in Romans. Verse 16, chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed, says Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from heaven. He who lives in utter continual dependence upon God is righteous, God says. Beautiful. The doctrine of salvation in the book of Romans. Oh, it comes up again in the book of Galatians. And in the book of Galatians is the book of the beautiful doctrine of Christian liberty, which, by the way, is the power and the ability to live a holy life. How do you live a holy life? The just shall live continually in utter dependence upon God, and ye shall find power to live a holy life as you choose to continually trust in, lean upon, put your whole soul faith in God and His Word and His salvation, which is in His Son. As you choose to walk that way, you will know Christian liberty, and you'll be singing with the others as you have found the power to live a holy life, young people. It is in this whole matter of faith. And then the last place where it appears is in the book of Hebrews, where we read it. And the book of Hebrews is a book of faith compared to rituals. Why should we learn about biblical faith? And I'll just say this in closing. Because it is impossible to please God without it. You mean I can be going to church? I can be professing Christ? I can be reading my Bible? I can be doing all kinds of things and not be pleasing God? That's right. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now we know that Jesus said, I do always that which pleases my Father. So we know that Jesus lived in a beautiful, perfect faith all the days he was on this earth. Because he always pleased his Father. And the Father looked down and said, ah, look at my Son. He is leaning, he is trusting in me for his every moment strength. I am pleased with my Son. We can understand and learn to walk in this biblical faith. The whole power and potential of the New Testament opens up to you and becomes offered in your life by faith. So we must learn what it is. We must learn how it works. We must learn what it produces. And we must learn how to walk by it. May God open all of our eyes, even my own, to the depth, the beautiful potential of living by faith. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is our need of all mercy. Lord, we stand in awe, even as we have gazed upon these things this day. Our hearts rise with joy, with thanks, as we get a little glimpse of the potential of this whole matter of faith. O Father, we confess before you today, we know very little about faith. But Lord, we do acknowledge and open up our hearts that what we have looked at already today, it is the biblical faith. And we pray that you teach us, Lord, deeply what it is and how it works. And God, oh, that you would turn it loose in our hearts and our lives. Help us to see it properly from your perspective and from ours. I pray. We all pray, Lord, in Jesus' name.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.